Memories too.
The journey ended, and Alyostov brought herself out of third sight into the muted light of the Chiss Defense Force transport Tomra's bridge. She lifted her hands away from the navigational controls, a hollow feeling in both stomach and heart.
Senior Commander?
She asked tentatively, looking at the helm officer seated beside her.
We've arrived,
he confirmed.
Thank you. I'll take it from here.
Okay,
Alyostov murmured. Unstrapping, she stood up and walked across the quiet bridge to the hatch. She walked through the opening and continued down the empty corridor toward the captain's quarters, where she and her caregiver had been given space. The Tomra never went outside the Ascendancy, so it didn't have a proper Skywalker suite. Mayful, Alyostov's caregiver, had complained about that very loudly, which had made Junior Captain Vorlip mad right back at her. On Alyostov's other ships, her caregiver usually met her outside the bridge and walked her back to the Skywalker suite. But after Mayful's fight with Vorlip, she declared she wouldn't leave the room until they reached Naparar, and had told Alyostov she'd be walking back and forth alone. And as Alyostov walked the long corridor, her eyes blurred with tears. There was no reason to have a Skywalker on this trip. She knew that. The routes within the Ascendancy weren't like the ones out in the chaos. Here, the pathways were clear, and the pilots knew how to get where they were going. That was why the fleet had put Alyostov's test here. Trips like this were a safe way to see if a Skywalker could still do her job. The pilot hadn't said anything, neither had Junior Captain Vorlip, but Alyostov knew. She hadn't been able to keep the Tomra on the right path. The pilot had had to correct the course as they traveled. Her third sight was mostly gone. Her job was ended. The only life she'd ever known was over. A full year ahead of the usual schedule, her life was over. At age 13.
Are you all right?
Alyostov stopped short, rubbing away the tears that had kept her from seeing the other person's approach. A young man in a black uniform stood facing her a few steps away. There weren't any insignia pins on his collar, which marked him as a cadet, and his shoulder patch had a sunrise on it. That was one of the 9 families she knew, but she couldn't remember which one.
I'm fine, she said.
One of her other caregivers had told her once that she should never complain about how she was feeling.
Who are you?
Cadet Mithron Nuru, he said, journeying to the Tarahim Academy.
Who are you?
Alyostov, she winced, remembering too late that her identity was supposed to be kept a secret from everyone except the highest-ranking officers.
I'm the captain's daughter,
she added, repeating the lie she was always supposed to give if anyone outside the bridge crew asked. Thrawn's eyebrow rose just a bit, and Alyostov's sinking heart sank a little deeper. He didn't believe her. Not only was her life over, but she was probably in trouble now, too.
I mean...
It's all right, Thrawn said. What's wrong, Alyostov? Can I help?
Alyostov sighed. She wasn't supposed to complain, but for once, she didn't really care what she was supposed to do.
I don't think so, she said. I'm just worried about... I don't know, about what I'm going to do.
I understand, Thrawn said.
Alyostov caught her breath. Had he figured out what she was? Her brief moment of uncaring rebellion vanished, leaving her once again fully aware that she was going to be in trouble.
You do?
She asked carefully.
Of course, Thrawn said. All of us feel uncertainty as we travel through life. I don't know specifically what concerns you. But I assure you that all the cadets aboard this ship are also facing changes in their futures. She felt a bit of relief, so he didn't know she was a Skywalker.
But you all know where you're going,
she said.
You're a cadet, and you're going to be in the Defense Force. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're a ship captain's daughter, Thrawn said. That will surely open many opportunities. But just because I know I'm going to the Academy doesn't mean there aren't a great many unknowns. And uncertainty can be the most frightening of mental states.
And then, to Eliastov's surprise, Thrawn got down on one knee in front of her, putting his face a little lower than hers. Grown-ups almost never did that. Even most of Eliastov's other caregivers had usually stood straight up looking down at her.
But why all of us face a variety of paths, we all have the power to choose among them, he continued. You have that power as well. The power to choose which of those paths is the right one for you.
I don't know,
Eliastov said, feeling the tears start up again. What kind of choices did a 13-year-old failed Skywalker even have? No one had talked much to her about that.
But thank you for...
What's going on here?
The harsh voice of Junior Captain Vorlip came from behind her.
Who are you and what are you doing here?
Cadet Mithra Nuru,
Thrawn said as he quickly stood up.
I was exploring the ship when I came upon your daughter. She seemed distressed, and I stopped to offer assistance.
You're not supposed to be in this corridor, Vorlip said sternly.
She walked past Eliastov and stopped in front of Thrawn.
Didn't you see the authorized personnel only signs?
I assumed they were intended to stop non-military personnel, Thrawn said. As a cadet, I thought I would be exempt.
Well, you aren't, Vorlip said. You're supposed to be back with the other cadets.
My apologies, Thrawn said. I merely wished to get the feel of the ship.
He bowed his head and started to turn away. Vorlip put out her arm to block his path.
What do you mean, the feel of the ship?
I wanted to study its rhythms, Thrawn said. The deck has subtle vibrations that reflect the ebb and flow of the thrusters. Our movement through hyperspace was punctuated by slight hesitations and swells. The airflow indicates small variations as we change direction. The compensators occasionally lag slightly behind course changes, with effects that are again transmitted through the deck.
Really?
Vorlip said. She didn't seem as angry now.
How many space flights have you had before this one?
None, Thrawn said. This is my first voyage away from my home.
Is it?
Vorlip stepped close to him.
Close your eyes. Keep them closed until I tell you otherwise.
Thrawn closed his eyes. Vorlip took him by the upper arms, and without warning, began spinning him around. Thrawn's arms flailed outward with surprise. His feet stumbled, trying to keep up with his body's movements. Vorlip kept him spinning, and also slowly moved around with him. When she was a third of the way from where she'd started, she caught his upper arms and brought him to a stop.
"Eyes still closed," she said, holding him steady. "Which way is forward?"
Thrawn was silent a moment. Then he raised a hand and pointed toward the Tomra's bow.
There, he said.
Vorlip kept holding him for a second. Then she let go and moved a step back.
You can open your eyes, she said.
Return to your quarters.
And don't ever pass that kind of sign until you're damn sure you're allowed.
Yes, Captain, Thrawn said.
He blinked a couple of times as he finished getting his balance. He nodded to Vorlip, nodded and smiled at Eliastov, then turned and left.
I'm sorry,
Ilyastov said quietly.
It's all right, Vorlip said.
She was still looking at Thrawn.
Are you mad at him?
Ilyastov asked.
He was only trying to help me.
I know.
Are you mad at me?
Vorlip turned and gave her a small smile.
No, of course not, she said. You've done nothing wrong.
But...
Ilyastov stopped, feeling confused.
I'm not mad at anyone, Vorlip said.
It's just... It took me 15 voyages and 4 different ships before I developed that kind of awareness. This Mithronurul did it in one. Is that strange?
Very, Vorlip assured her.
He seems nice,
Ilyastov said. She paused, thinking about what he'd said about paths.
What happens to me when I leave here?
You'll be adopted, Vorlip said. Probably into one of the 9 ruling families. They like to have former Skywalkers.
Why?
It's a prestige thing, Vorlip said.
I'm sure you realize that girls with your ability are very rare. It's an honor for one of you to be made a merit adoptive.
Ilyastov felt her throat tighten.
Even when we're no use to anyone?
Don't say things like that, Vorlip said sternly. Every person is valuable. My point is that you'll be welcomed into whatever family adopts you. They'll take care of you, send you on to further education, and eventually find a career that you're best suited for.
Unless they throw me out.
I told you to stop talking like that, Vorlip said.
They're not going to throw you out. Your prestige for the family, remember?
Yes,
Ilyastov said. She didn't completely believe it, but there was no use talking any more about it now. But there was one more point.
Do I get to choose which family I want?
Vorlip frowned.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know any of the details about how these things are done. Why? Are you looking at a specific family?
Yes,
Ilyastov said.
The myth.
Really?
Vorlip glanced over her shoulder.
Like Cadet Thrawn?
Yes.
Vorlip huffed out a thoughtful breath.
As I say, I don't know how it works. But there's certainly no reason you can't ask.
Actually, now that I think about it, a former Skywalker with your record should be able to ask for whatever you want.
And there it was. Vorlip had said it. Former Skywalker. Ilyastov's navigational career was officially over. But strangely, it suddenly didn't seem to matter so much now.
That's what he said,
she told Vorlip.
He said I'd be able to choose my path.
Well, cadets say all sorts of things, Vorlip said,
dismissing both Thrawn and the conversation with a wave of her hand.
Come, I need you and your caregiver in my office. There are forms we need to fill out.
Mithronurul, he'd named himself, Ilyastov reminded herself as she and the captain walked. Mithronurul. She would remember that. And when the time came, the Mith family would definitely be getting a request.